Innovation Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Gagan, and this week we're going to be talking to Envisionly's first employee.
On today's episode, we have Michael Christie, and he's actually the first kind of employee here at Envisionly, at least external to the actual founders. So, Michael, you're a software engineer here, and I mean, you kind of do a little bit of everything, like technically a software engineer, but you've done some more DevOps type things, even though you're doing like more accessibility testing kind of things, mainly working on things like websites at the minute. I don't think you've worked on any like native apps or anything like that, but you've done kind of the DevOps stuff with like Linux and for like deploying websites. So kind of mainly web dev, DevOps, software engineering kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. Whatever you ask me to do, I try to do it.
Yeah, basically, anyway. So obviously, we know each other from college. We actually did the exact same degree. And I think you started in the second year of the degree, right? You weren't there for first year, weren't you, now?
Yeah, I started second year, and that was like during COVID. So I didn't really meet anybody in person until the start of third year, actually.
Yeah, I actually completely forgot about that, to be honest with you. It seems like you were there for the whole time, to be honest with you, at this point, like now that it's actually over. That must have been actually very weird. I actually completely forgot about that, especially like we had all met each other in person in first year, because our degree started in 2019, just before COVID. I think in like March is when everything shut down. So. But we kind of just met through the WhatsApp group chat we have, right, for the college. I think you got added into that. And then obviously we just talked a bit through that, I think, about programming related things.
Yeah, I was mostly just talking to whoever was the most active, because that was really the only way to get to know anybody.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, we probably even had people in the class that you probably weren't even really aware of until you came into third year, actually, I suppose. Yeah, so they weren't like messaging or emailing, and then you probably never really saw their name or anything either. So, So obviously we finished up in college in 2023 and we graduated, and then, you know, I kind of had a job, quit that job, started, you know, Envisionly. And I suppose, I know, obviously, we had talked like a good bit after college. So just kind of when I was like, oh, we could probably use some help, you know, to get a bit more stuff done. Obviously, I kind of, you know, thought about you. Especially at the minute, I know that obviously, like, the tech industry is in a bit of a weird situation. Like, for years there, it was very easy for graduates to get a job. And now it's actually kind of reversed, where it's actually much easier for companies to find somebody to fill a position and actually a lot harder to get a job as a graduate. I suppose, like, were you like, obviously I told you that I like had started a company or whatever, were you ever like expecting to kind of get like a job like that, or what were you kind of doing at the time in terms of looking for jobs in the industry, or were you looking?
Like from the start of 2023, like when I was graduating, that was the kind of like, okay, get in on your grad programs, make sure that you have something lined up from the summer and thereafter. And I was pretty much anything that I saw that I could apply for, I did, even like internships and stuff like that, because all I was told is once you have your foot in the door somewhere, you're kind of laughing. And then it like just sort of dried up. I mean, it wasn't, you know, out of the blue, because there was definitely forewarnings with companies laying off, you know, senior staff and so on. So there was definitely a bit of like, this might not be as good as it was any other year. But I didn't really have any expectations, because I feel like that would have just drove me mad. It was more like, I will just keep looking for somewhere, and if I find somewhere, then good. I wasn't going to be too picky, so to speak, either. I did have interviews for some places, but it never really went far. And a lot of places nowadays especially do many rounds of interviews, which makes it very difficult to even get far. And I honestly did not know anything Like they're even just from when I graduated until whenever. I suppose for that next year, it was just a matter of, is it going to pop up now? Are the jobs going to start popping up in by the end of summer? Are they going to start popping up by the end of the year? Because people had predictions, you know. People would have told me, oh, don't worry, it might have been a bad summer, but it'd be better towards the end of summer. Actually, it'd be better in the new year, because that's when the new graduates will start, programs start rolling out. And then it just never did.
Yeah, and I suppose for a bit of context, actually, Michael only started working here in August of 2024. So it actually hasn't been that long, especially you only work 2 days a week with us. So I know we were talking recently, and I did the math on how many days you had actually worked, and it only really added up to, like, wasn't it just like not even 2 months yet in reality?
It was like the equivalent of like 5 weeks or something, of five weeks full time.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. Like, obviously, you know, starting back in August. But yeah, so obviously this is still also kind of new to you in a way. And I suppose, like, what were your kind of expectations of like starting here? Obviously, it's a small startup. Well, it's not even, it's a like micro startup, you know, quite small. So yeah, I suppose, were you like, what were your kind of thoughts about even necessarily taking the offer to start here?
I mean, I was excited. I finally had like a foot in the door in tech, and that was excited, because that was a bit of a break, even if it wasn't going to be full-time 5 days or anything like that. I mean, I was just relieved that it's at least I had something, because it's something is obviously better than nothing. It's definitely also felt better actually having a degree that I could put to use, rather than, you know, self-reflecting and going, oh god, I graduated and who knows when I'm going to get a job. So a lot of pressure was relieved, but I honestly didn't know what to expect, really. I kind of got the sense of, just from like colleagues and peers who are working now since they've graduated, I knew it wouldn't be the same, in the sense of like, you don't have five or six managers training and guiding you in. You'd probably don't get this like a strong routine where like you have one specific role and you do one specific thing, and that's what you do before you move on or move up or whatever. I had a feel it was going to be a bit more like dynamic than other places, where at any moment it'd be, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do that? And that's kind of how it's gone. And I like that, to be honest. It's a bit more better for me and the way my brain works, where I kind of want, I could get sick of doing the same thing over and over again. So having that option, or that necessity, where I would need to be able to jump between different things, as you're saying, like software development, accessibility tests, and so on. It also means that I get to learn more, even in a condensed amount of time of, you know, part-time 2 days a week. I still get to learn bits of everything, which is really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of graduate programs are like between 12 and 20 weeks, which is, in my opinion, a huge amount of time. So when I kind of said like, oh yeah, you've only been working here for like 5 or 6 weeks in total, it's kind of like, wow, you've actually learned a lot in those 5 or 6 weeks. I suppose for a bit of context, we didn't really cover a lot of the things that we actually use here at Envisionly in our degree. I don't know if we really covered any of them. I mean, we learned a little bit of JavaScript and HTML, but like, that's it really, as far as I remember. And you didn't do the web dev modules or nothing, didn't you not?
I only did the mandatory ones. So that was basically two semesters equivalent of a module.
Oh, but that was with like Apache and like PHP.
Yes, that's right.
It was something, all right, and it wasn't web development, so I can tell you that. But yeah, so, and obviously that means you didn't do a graduate program, and you've never like worked in a job in the tech industry before, right? Like, you even like an internship or anything like that?
No, even when I had the option to do it in the third year of college, I did Erasmus instead, which I thought wouldn't be as much of a problem thinking at the time, what was that, 3 years ago now, thinking like, oh, it definitely won't hinder my ability to get a job because there's jobs going everywhere. I'll be fine.
Yeah, and then obviously everything kind of changed, which obviously unfortunate, but worked out for me anyway, because I got the heavy instead. I suppose, was there anything kind of switching to this new kind of number one type of job, and also like obviously the tech industry doing more programming? Because I know when we had talked before, actually, you weren't necessarily interested in doing software engineering. So, is there anything in particular that you found like hard to adjust to, or any particular like particularly steep learning curves or anything like that, since you've kind of started?
I think the steeper curves came from just like I would imagine it would have been a lot easier if straight out of college I had have gotten into a job because I still would have had programming like fresh in my mind. I think the bigger challenge was after like a year and a half of not really knuckling down on code again. It was hard to get back into the swing of it and kind of going, oh, get yourself into the headspace for it, really. I think that was the hardest part. But other than that, like, I can't think of anything major that was super difficult because I do think we have a nice structure where it's like we have the repos, sorry, and pretty much we know between ourselves which ones are the kind of more important ones, and if I'm a bit uncertain, I can just ask you. It only takes 2 seconds, compared to like having to send an email to a manager and waiting to hear back or anything. I can just ask you what like where should I be working today, and then the ones that we should be working on, you have stories on GitHub, how important they are, what you need to do, and whether or not they've even been started. So there's already like even just relying on your own initiative, there's a good indicator to really what needs to be done, and that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, even for me, actually, kind of honestly, like I'm bad at being organized. So this has actually really helped me, even like personally speaking. And I hadn't really used GitHub issues beforehand, and I kept saying, oh, I need to start doing this, keep track of stuff. I need to start keeping track of stuff. And I just never had a reason. So even for me, it's actually been great kind of having things organized. 'Cause then if I, for example, we don't work on a project for like 2 weeks and I come back, I'm like, what was I doing? But now it's just like, oh yeah, I was working on this story. And you can see like what's in the backlog, what's in progress, what's done. Yeah, even writing the descriptions and stuff, I've been trying to do more of because I didn't used to do that. But just to kind of ho help hope hopefully give you a little bit more of an idea as to what we're supposed to do. Because just like the title of add the terms and conditions, obviously it's like, oh, that's great. But anything that we should be including here or whatever. Even for me, it's actually really beneficial. I mean, I personally, think that it's pretty chill generally at Envisionly. Like, I don't think I generally create like a particularly stressful environment. Like, I don't know, I don't really like that about work. Generally, like things are gonna get done when they get done, in my opinion. Like, I don't think it's gonna really make a difference if I sit there and shout at you on like a on a call or anything like that. So that's just not kind of what I do. Like, I don't know if you feel like, it's kind of been like that. Has it been pretty stressful? Like, what, like, is it almost like too much independence, like not enough guidance? I know you said like obviously the repos and stuff are helpful, but
I mean, like considering it's literally just the two of us, like make as the development team, it's it can go like I always feel like I want to do more, especially on like stuff. I would do Thursdays and Fridays, so on the Friday it's like, oh, if I don't get this done, like, oh, that means I'm kind of leaving it till next week. I don't like that, and that doesn't sit right with me. It actually makes me feel a bit guilty sometimes, even if like I could be doing well and making great pace and great headway. I think any pressure I feel is just within my own self, I don't think any pressure comes externally. I think as well, because it's the way in which that we do things is a collaborative effort, where it's like the bottom line is that everything gets done, and the easiest way to get it done is if we work together. So if I am struggling, if I don't understand something, even if it's something that I should, and it's something that's very simple, it would only be a waste of time adding more difficulty to that. So we both kind of want the solution. We don't want problems. So I think that focus and that drive is what makes everything really, really smooth and streamlined.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally get that. I get what you're saying about the feeling bad about leaving things. Even me, like, I'm here, you know, every day working on stuff. And even if it's like 5 o'clock and I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to finish for the day, it actually sometimes annoys me if I haven't finished what I'm trying to finish. So yeah, I can obviously imagine then if you have to wait till, like, you know, next Thursday to be working it again or whatever, you know, because like I said, it bothers me having to even wait till the next day sometimes. So no, I totally get where you're coming from with that. To be honest with you. I mean, I think, you know, some of the kind of initial things I said were maybe like, you know, not necessarily me being as good at making stories. I know at the start, especially, like, you'd be like, what should I do? And I'd be like, let me make some stories. I've tried to kind of stay on top of that a bit better. But yeah, it is kind of a little bit difficult, obviously, as you said, because we're the whole development team, but I'm also kind of the, I guess to put it in, you know, better terms, like the scrum master, if you will, as people call it in Agile, where you're supposed to like organize the stories and like sort out what you're supposed to do and stuff like that. So sometimes I kind of just get distracted with code and stuff, and then all the stories are gone and I'm like, okay, what are we supposed to do next? So yeah, I feel like it's not necessarily a disadvantage, obviously, just because we don't have as many employees. You know, we're not going to hire a dedicated person to, you know, manage our stories at this point, you know. So yeah, I feel like personally that's the one thing that probably could have done better at so far, and probably still could. Like, you can never have too many things in the backlog, really. Well, like, you can, but you know what I mean. Like, it's never bad to have stuff to do. So I suppose, was there anything in particular that, like, you know, once, since you started, has particularly been motivating for you about the job, whether it's like just kind of learning new things or like, you know, whatever it might be that you've particularly enjoyed or has like helped you actually be motivated to want to keep doing the job?
I think one thing that's really interesting is working on a company where like a lot of the success is detrimental to how well you can get things done and how fast you can do it realistically. Because if the company has space for growth, you have, like, I feel like I have to be ready to almost, what's the word? I've actually lost the word. If the company has space to grow, you have to be ready to grow with it. Like, you have to be learning constantly. You have to be getting better. Because if you don't, and you like almost miss the boat, or you miss on that opportunity, then like it's really, I wouldn't say it's pressuring. It's kind of, you know, self-inflicted pressure if anything, but you're relied on. And I think that's interesting compared to maybe other jobs where you might just be one employee who could be replaced at a given moment with another employee. As long as the job is filled, you know, you're just a kind of part, a cog in the machine almost, and not necessarily the most important cog or anything like that. And that's maybe not every job in tech, but there are, like, but yeah, it's probably a night and day working for a smaller or a startup company, because the growth is dependent on you in a massive way. And if it's, you know, if you mess up, you might not get that chance to, or you might lose some steam, or the growth might not just grow at all. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, in reality, like, because we're like such a small company at the minute, we're like very beholden to outside forces, if you will. Like, if Google, for example, loses a client for whatever reason, you know, whether it's an advertising client or whatever, they probably don't really care. Like, I'm sure they do, and I'm sure it's kind of harmful to their bottom line or whatever, but they have, you know, $3 trillion to fall back on. You know, they're fine. Whereas, obviously, we don't have that. Like, if we lose all of our clients tomorrow, like, you know, it's obviously not good. So, yeah, definitely kind of having that kind of ability to keep moving forward and to keep growing the company is really important. And I totally get what you're saying about it, like, almost being, like, self-pressure for that. Like, even when we're doing a story for a client, I'm like, this needs to be, like, really good. You know, and I also think, weirdly enough, sometimes there's more of an expectation of smaller companies, because sometimes I'm like, oh my god, we're really shit, you know, or whatever, and you know, what we make, you know, isn't that good. And then I'm like, I go on Netflix or whatever and it just doesn't even load, and I'm like, oh, okay, so actually, you know, things being slightly misaligned on this one page for 10 minutes probably isn't that big of a deal, you know, when these multi-million or billion-euro companies can't even get their apps to open half the time, you know. But yeah, weirdly enough, and I feel like also people expect more as well, because we also have more direct clients than a lot of those companies. Like, we don't, well, not right now anyway, but we don't necessarily just provide a service to people. We usually provide like a product, if you will. So, you know, somebody might want us to make a website. So it's a bit different than obviously having a subscription to like a streaming service. So, you know, I totally get what you're saying there. And even as you said, like learning things, like I've tried to learn Rust, right? And it's very different from obviously pretty much any other programming language. But like, if I don't learn Rust, then we can't do actually a lot of other things. And it's, yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, we don't have like Rust developers or JavaScript developers, or, you know, we don't have database engineers, whatever. We're just supposed to do basically everything. You know, whether it's, as I said, dealing with like the deployment of websites or the security or whatever. You know, so, you know, I totally get what you're saying there.
Yeah. On what you're saying, sorry. The thing is, like, two things is, one is that about clients that like, or not clients, sorry, comparing yourself to other websites, is that like, when you like, one thing that might be a good way of, or the perspective of it is that every other website you go on is probably made by a company that's much bigger. So like, it could be really easy to compare to other websites, but then when you realize that those companies probably have 200 times the income, and, you know, 10 times the not 10 times the employees, because that would only be 20, but like 30, 40 or 50 times the employees. So to be compared to them is, in a way, better a compliment, for, or rather than trying to go, oh, they can do that and we can't. And then as well was, when you try and take your time to learn something like Rust, that means then that there's less time given to development or the management side of things. And it either means that you have to somehow squeeze more time in your day that you don't have, or take time out of things like development, which is pressuring as well, I can imagine.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, just on what you're saying there about like kind of learning stuff, it is kind of difficult, because like, let's say if, you know, I decide I'm going to learn Rust right now and I'm not going to go on LinkedIn and like see if there's anybody looking for any, you know, websites or whatever, we could possibly miss out on, you know, thousands of euro, you know, just from those, that hour that I decided not to go on LinkedIn, you know, which is huge for, you know, a company of this size. So it is kind of difficult. And yeah, in terms of comparing ourselves to other websites, I said, weirdly enough, I find myself in that kind of sometimes state where I'm like, oh yeah, we, you know, I did a bad thing. I pushed a feature and there was a bug. And I said, then I'll go and look at a bigger company's website. And I'm like, actually, a lot of our stuff that we make is actually kind of better. As you said, weirdly enough, and yeah, like obviously sometimes we make things and they have problems or whatever, but I feel like that's honestly pretty normal, and especially in terms of actually usability, I feel like generally speaking, we do pretty good. Like the amount of people I've heard talk about the companies they work for, and they're like, oh yeah, we just use this really old thing that we paid for like 20 years ago. It doesn't even really work with the framework that we use now, but we're supposed to like just kind of make it work because they already paid for it ages ago and they don't want to pay for anything new and they don't want to make anything new. So I feel like even that, like we make a lot of our own stuff, and the stuff that we don't make, we use really new things. Like we don't use PHP or anything like that. We don't use, you know, Apache or whatever. We use a lot more modern stuff. So compared to honestly a lot of those other websites, even if like we do push something that's a bit buggy, generally speaking, I feel like our stuff's pretty good. As I said, especially for the size of them, you know, when there's only really two of us.
Yeah.
I suppose on that kind of topic there. I suppose, was there anything that you were maybe expecting that would happen that didn't? Like obviously since it is a startup, or maybe you were expecting it to be some sort of way and it wasn't, or vice versa, you know, or have things kind of been what you expected so far?
Honestly, I didn't really know what to expect. Because anything that I would have heard about working in tech was from people who would work for like established companies or companies that have been around a long time. So, you know, I didn't really know what way things were going to be, other than probably dynamic, which they are. And I think the only reason I didn't try to give myself any expectations was because I thought it'd be better to kind of go in with a kind of clearer or more like responsive mind, to be like, I'll just do whatever needs to be done, you know? Yeah. What I will say is the only thing I didn't really expect is like, you know, like I guess you never really know how a startup is going to do. And like, you know, I think partially there comes a bit of like almost like guilt being paid by a startup, because obviously I don't obviously exactly know the finances one way or another, and I didn't expect to still be here, but not in a way that I would have like moved on or anything like that, but more like you obviously like I don't know how the finances work for startups, and that like at any moment I could have thought like, oh, money's dried up, see you later now, and I've been like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, no, look, I totally get that, to be honest with you, because sometimes I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, so if we made no money for the next 4 months, how would that go? You know, so I totally get that, because it, like I said, it does make a big difference. You know, it's like, oh yeah, one day your company's there, you're doing your thing, next day actually it turns out we have to stop. So yeah, I totally get that. I think that's why, like, I feel like some people, especially graduates, will sometimes, I don't want to say tend to avoid like smaller companies, but it can be obviously it's a little bit less secure than going, okay, I'll go work for Microsoft. Like Microsoft aren't going to disappear tomorrow. You know, you're still going to have a job. Well, obviously not counting the layoffs and stuff that have happened, but you know what I mean? Your job isn't going to go away because the company's gone or whatever, you know, or they can't afford to pay you, because they can. So yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying there. It is obviously quite different. And honestly, I'm glad that you didn't really come in with like expectations, because I wasn't sure either how it was going to go. Like I've never had to hire anybody. I don't even really want to call it that, because we just kind of had a phone call and we're like, okay, do you want to start working here? Yeah, okay. So yeah, I mean, like I feel like that honestly kind of worked out for everybody. I also wasn't sure what to expect. I tried not to expect like, you know, anything really either, because I also wasn't really sure what you were gonna want to do, because I didn't want to be like, okay, Michael, yeah, you're gonna be exclusively software engineer, and then, you know, in a few weeks you're like, I actually hate this job, and I'm like, oh god. Yeah, I mean, I, you know, I totally get what you're saying there, and I kind of tried to do the same thing, so I think that was really beneficial.
That is going to be it for this episode of the Envision Tech podcast. Tune in next time to see part two of this conversation with Michael, where we're going to talk more about remote working and a few other things. Obviously, if you did like this episode, please do like the video and make sure that you come back next time for part two. As always, I've been your host, Paul Gagan. This is the Envision Tech Podcast, and we will see you all next week.